Would you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was a teenager when the Left Behind series was in vogue. A pop culture phenomenon, it was a series of books and then eventually movies that told the story of a fictional apocalypse supposedly informed by the Bible. The basic premise is that all of the true Christian believers has been raptured, sucked up to heaven, and that earth is now a scene of chaos, the site of an epic battle between born-again Christians and the Antichrist. It was pop culture embodying the rising popularity of evacuation theology. The idea that this world is going to come to an end and soon. And so our focus as Christians should be to get to heaven. Since this earth is only temporary, our focus should be on some other place after we die. Revelation 21:1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. The Greek word here for passing away is parachomai. It is not a euphemism for dead, like how we use that term. It is an evanescent state of things. It's something fading away. It was used in ancient physics to describe a wave that has crossed into a region where it can no longer keep going the way that it had. And so it slowly dwindles in the distance. It's not a world left behind. People sucked up into heaven and all the creatures destroyed. The world has crossed into a region where it could no longer keep going on the way that it had been. In 2008, just before Christmas, I witnessed an apocalypse. I was living in the Republic of the Marshall Islands, a small island nation, a five-hour flight from Hawaii, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. After college, I served as a Jesuit volunteer there. I taught sixth grade and coached the volleyball and basketball teams. I think by accident of height, not by my skill. Since 1880, average global temperatures have increased by 2.2 degrees Fahrenheit, with the greatest changes happening in the late 20th and earliest 21st century. The Marshall Islands lay 1 meter above sea level. They are tiny slivers of sand and coral and coconut trees. Sky and ocean meet on a distant horizon. The clouds look like they are on fire as the sun rises and sets into the water. When I lived there in 2008, just before Christmas, I had watched for days as the tides got higher and higher. It was a king tide, when the waves rise higher due to the closeness of the moon. In the early afternoon, I was working with kids who had stayed behind for tutoring, and I heard screams. I looked up, and water was everywhere. It had broken the seawall and was coming wave after wave after wave. I ran out of my classroom and scooped up some kindergartners who were playing outside and carried them up to higher ground. We watched together as entire plywood homes were swept out to the sea. Eventually, the wave slowed down and an eerie calm set in. People came out in teams to help clean up. I returned to my classroom to find Paris, a skinny, hilarious, and studious boy, rescuing the books from the water. He was pulling textbooks out of flooded cabinets and putting them on top of stacked desks. People have lived in the Marshall Islands for at least 4,000 years. By 2100, no matter what changes we make, the Marshall Islands will be uninhabitable due to rising seas. They will likely be among the first of the sovereign nations to succumb to climate change. The 12-year-old who I taught geometry and the history of ancient Egypt to will be the adults who decide where to move their families, who will face the heart-wrenching task of learning how to keep their culture alive when they are forced to leave their ancestral lands. Kate Marvel is a climate scientist who works for NASA, and she was quoted a few years ago in the Washington Post saying this: "We want there to be a really simple story. You do this, and then everything will be okay." Everything is not going to be okay. We, I think especially we American Christians, long for a quick road to an easy redemption, a simple story with a happy and uncomplicated ending, where the losses are bearable and the heroes already have a plan in place. But what if everything is not, and perhaps will not, be okay? What if the losses are unbearable? What if the heroes are building the plane as they are flying it? John of Patmos, the author of the Book of Revelation, was writing from exile, having been kicked out of Rome for prophecy with political implications. His work and words had threatened the political power and order, particularly his economic critique of Rome's taxation and trade systems. For many of the citizens of Rome, they thought the empire would last forever. They thought it would always be like this, where the rich got richer and the poor got poorer, the whole thing relying on the enslavement of thousands of people. They thought it would last forever, but not John of Patmos, who could see a farther horizon. He wrote, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them, and they will be God's people. God's self will be with them and be their God.'" When John of Patmos wrote the book of Revelation, he wrote to tell the powers that be that they were going to lose. But perhaps primarily, he wrote to the Christian churches and the individual Christians that made them up. He wrote to insist that they would need to take a side, that in their concrete day-to-day lives they needed to choose. Would they be good citizens of Rome first, and in so doing allow evil to persist? Or will they be Christians first, despite what it might cost them? The vision that John paints is not one of an evacuation from an unsavable earth. It is God coming down to earth, restoring all things. Because for God, this world is worth saving. This very one, with its ozone holes and oil spills, its warming oceans and rising tides, with its magnificent creatures and sunlit skies, this earth is worth saving. 15 years after I watched that king tide take over my classroom, the waves are still rising. The clock is still ticking away the time in which those islands will be inhabitable. It's growing smaller every day. Maybe some magnificent yet to be created technology could save them. Maybe not. And so how do we hope? How do we hope in a climate chaos world? One thing, we remember that hope does its work best when it is embodied. And so we do little things. We use less stuff. We cut out plastic when we can. We limit our fossil fuel use even when it's personally inconvenient. We write letters and petition for policy change. Many of us do big things. We lead political campaigns and we divest our funds. We invest our endowments and our time into the world that we dream of instead. We risk arrest to halt or to at least slow down the building of new fossil fuel infrastructure. We do these things not because they will individually save the world. They won't. They matter, but individually they are not enough. We do these things in part because they help to save us, or our integrity at the least. We do these things because they help us to build the world that we dream of, the world that God dreams of, the world that God knows is worth saving. We do these things because our own healing is bound up with the healing of the earth. God is indeed making all things new. These words are trustworthy and true. God is creating a new world right here in the shell of the old. The old world is passing away, so wrapped up in patterns that can no longer sustain themselves. God is making all things new, not in some heaven far away, because the home of God is among mortals. Heaven is being built, not in some far-off place to which we can escape the mess that we have made of this place, but right here, precisely among the mess, precisely among us. And what we do matters. What we do with our time and with our money, how we let ourselves be inconvenienced, how we sacrifice comfort or privilege or wealth so that other people might live, how we treat the fragile earth around us and how we treat our neighbors, how we consider those who live half a world away. It matters because it is all part of the wider work of God. The same God who is making all things new, right here in the shell of the old world, a new world is being born. May we rise up with God to make it so. Amen.